In 1950, a young Japanese engineer named Eiji Toyoda walked through Ford's massive Rouge plant in Detroit, the cathedral of American manufacturing might. Assembly lines stretched for miles. Mountains of inventory towered like steel pyramids. Thousands of workers performed repetitive tasks in deafening noise. Ford was producing more cars in a single day than Toyota made in an entire year. Yet, Toyota returned to Japan convinced he could build a better system. It seemed absurd. Toyota was broke, operating in a devastated post-war economy with barely any capital. But 40 years later, that impossible vision had become reality. Toyota didn't just catch up, it fundamentally reimagined how things should be made, creating what we now call lean production. This wasn't merely an incremental improvement, it was a revolution that would eventually reshape manufacturing across every industry, from healthcare to construction to technology. Before Henry Ford, cars were luxury items handcrafted by artisans. Ford's radical insight? What if parts were so precise that any component could fit any car? By 1913, his Highland Park plant reduced assembly time from over 8 hours to just 1.19 minutes per worker. Costs plummeted by two-thirds. Alfred Sloan later provided the management framework Ford lacked, creating GM's divisional structure and introducing annual model changes. By 1955, this system dominated globally, but cracks were forming. The system treated workers as interchangeable parts, creating soul-crushing jobs. Quality suffered because no one could stop production when problems emerged. Mountains of inventory hid defects until the end, where massive rework areas fixed what shouldn't have been broken. When Toyota and Taiichi Ono began reimagining manufacturing, they faced paralyzing constraints. Japan's tiny market couldn't support enormous production runs. New labor laws prevented casual firings. Capital was scarce, no money for warehouses or huge rework facilities. These limitations forced creativity. Ono reduced die change times from a full day to 3 minutes. Small batches became economical and revealed mistakes immediately. Then came the radical move. Ono placed a cord at every workstation, allowing any worker to stop the entire line. Initially, the line stopped constantly, but workers learned to trace problems to root causes using the five whys technique. Stoppages became rare. Quality soared toward 100% with virtually no rework. The system required something mass production had eliminated: workers who could think, solve problems, and take responsibility. Walk into GM's Framingham plant in the 1980s and you'd see chaos. Aisles teemed with supervisors, inspectors, and repair workers, people who added no value but existed to catch problems. Workstations were buried under weeks of inventory. Some workers frantically struggled while others smoked. At the line's end, up to 25% of cars needed fixes. Now step into Toyota's Takayoka plant. The aisles are nearly empty. Almost everyone adds value. Workstations hold less than an hour's inventory. Work is evenly balanced. Though every worker can stop the line, it rarely happens because problems are solved before they occur. There's virtually no rework area. The numbers. Takayoka was twice as productive and three times more accurate while using 40% less space. The NUMMI joint venture proved this wasn't cultural. When Toyota reopened GM's closed Fremont plant with the same UAW workers, productivity and quality matched Japan within 2 years. GM's $7 billion GM 10 project epitomizes mass production failure. Program managers lacked authority, engineers reported to functional bosses, and the five-year plan stretched to 9 years. Honda's project leader, Tatomi Miyoshi, wielded real power, with borrowed team members reporting directly to him. Teams worked simultaneously rather than sequentially. Die making began while design continued, halving development time. Global surveys revealed Japanese clean sheet designs required 1.7 million engineering hours and 46 months, versus 3 million hours and 60 months for Western projects. Japanese projects hit market on schedule 83% of the time versus 50% for American efforts. This speed advantage allowed Japanese automakers to nearly double their product portfolio between 1982 and 1990 while maintaining four-year renewal cycles. Mass producers treated suppliers as adversaries, bidding competitively on detailed drawings for one-year contracts. Lean producers worked with fewer than 300 suppliers selected for proven relationships, with first-tier suppliers joining development teams early. Instead of supplier cost plus, lean producers used market price minus, establishing target vehicle prices, then determining profitable component costs. Profit-sharing agreements incentivized innovation, with suppliers keeping gains from cost-saving ideas beyond targets. Toyota produced only 27% of vehicle value with 37,000 employees, while GM added 70% with 850,000 employees. Lean production fundamentally transforms work itself. In mass production plants, workers are extensions of machines, performing mind-numbing tasks with no control. Critics called lean management by stress, arguing it eliminates slack, but lean creates creative tension. Workers control their environment and face meaningful challenges. You're not just installing the same bolt 400 times daily. You're solving problems, improving processes, teaching new members. Your suggestions matter. When something goes wrong, you have authority to fix it. This requires reciprocal obligation. Workers commit long-term, while management provides job security during downturns. Companies must abandon viewing workers as variable costs. The truly lean plant transfers maximum responsibility to line workers and provides systems for quickly tracing problems to root causes. Workers need diverse skills: machine repair, quality checking, materials ordering, plus proactive thinking. As one manager observed, mass production is simply lean production run by the rulebook where no one takes initiative. The transition to lean production must happen quickly to eliminate trade imbalances, triple European productivity, and help developing nations build manufacturing capabilities without massive capital investments. The greatest barrier is resistance from massive mass production corporations, too large to fail but seemingly incapable of reform. These companies need creative crises to catalyze change, better industrial financing that demands improvement while providing transformation capital, and lean competitors to strip away cultural excuses. Handling displaced workers presents another challenge. Lean conversion typically requires less than half the current workforce. A final irony, the Japanese lean producers themselves must evolve. Despite pioneering superior methods, they struggle to think globally rather than nationally. They must build truly international personnel systems where nationality doesn't determine advancement, regionalize supplier groups, and include foreign companies in their keiretsu networks. This demands reciprocal obligation, Western employees making long-term commitments while Japanese companies abandon narrow nationalism. The tools exist. The challenge is implementation. Lean production merges craft production's quality with mass production's low costs, delivering wider variety and more fulfilling work. It's a business philosophy shift, treating workers as thinking partners, suppliers as collaborators, and customers as integral to production. In our automation-driven world, lean production proves well-trained humans remain more flexible than robots. The goal isn't eliminating people, but unleashing their potential. Lean production will become the global standard. The question is how quickly you'll adopt it. This system creates better products, stronger companies, and more meaningful work. The revolution has begun. Will you lead it or be left behind?